I want to continue to talk about the restorative power and nature of God. This will be the third session that we've spent on this and maybe finish tonight. I don't know. Hallelujah. We'll see. But I do want to remind you of just where we've come in this, and to get the full import, you can go back and get the recordings there in the bookstore. But everyone, you know, at some time in life, because of this, because of, you know, the fallen earth and the fall of man, experiences loss, opportunities, relationships, health, time. But loss is never the last chapter for us as believers. Amen. God's story always ends with restoration. It's His nature, and He's got the power to do it. Our keynote scripture has been Joel chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. Reading from the King James Bible, said, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Now, God let those things happen because of their disobedience. Now, that's not the scripture. That's what I'm saying. All right. Verse 26 says, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be ashamed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Restoration, as it's used in the Bible, you know, restoration from the dictionary means to return something to its original condition. But in the Bible, it means that. It means to bring back to an original condition, to a position or a purpose. But also, it brings with the idea of increase, wholeness, and renewed purpose. It's not just returning something. It's bringing something back to its rightful state and in better than you've ever been in your life before. Restoration means it's better than it's ever been before. Hallelujah. And so we've talked about that in the past sessions. We said God is a restorer of that which was lost. We read it there in Joel. He said that I'll restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. He restored them, but not only did He restore them, He brought them into abundance. He said, you're going to eat in plenty. God redeems our lost time, our lost opportunities, our lost fruitfulness. Now listen, even if it was our fault, God can restore that to us. Amen. He also restores our soul. The Lord is our shepherd, right? Psalm 23 says, He restores my soul. God wants to establish us and strengthen us and settle us. You know, life can bruise us. Our mind, our will, and our emotions, that's your soulish realm. That's the inner man. We can't see that. It's our spirit. But there in Psalm 51, He says, Behold, you desire truth in your inward parts, and the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Amen. He restores us. David failed, but he prayed that God would renew a right spirit within him. God doesn't just forgive. He wants to restore to you the joy of your salvation. That's what David asked for. He wants to restore to you your confidence. God doesn't only restore our inner life, but He restores our physical bodies too. He's the restorer of our health. Jeremiah 30, verse 17 said, I will restore health unto you. There in Matthew 12, Jesus restored a man with a withered hand, said it was restored whole like the other one. So restoration includes healing and wholeness. Jesus' healing ministry was God's restorative nature in action. That man at the pool of Bethesda who had 38 years in that condition. I like part of that story, and I think I mentioned to you, but if you weren't here, that's all right. I'm going to tell it again. I like to hear it. But part of that story, I was in Kenya and had been teaching. I was there by myself, and so I'd been teaching 2 to 3 hours in the morning, 2 to 3 hours in the afternoon. Then they decided they wanted to have crusade meetings, open-air meetings after that. Well, I did the first day, you know. And the next day I said, isn't there somebody, we've been, you know, training these young men and women in ministry. Isn't there somebody who could preach today that's more of a preacher than me? And this young man, they got this young man up, and he took this text there of Jesus going to the pool of Bethesda. And he talked about, when he said to Jesus, he said, I would be healed, but I have no man. See, he'd been abandoned. He'd been left there. No family, no friends, no church. nobody there to help him. But Jesus said to him, he asked him, do you want to be healed? He said, I would, but I don't have a man. Jesus never uttered these words, but in what he did, he said, I'll be your man. I'll be the man. When it looks like you don't have anybody, when it looks like everything's gone, I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is the answer. He's the man you need in your life. He's the one. When you have, when the devil has robbed you of whatever it is, taking your health from you, listen, Jesus is the restorer. Not just to heal you, but to make you whole. You know, Jesus can make us whole so that there's not even any evidence that it ever happened in our life before. There in the spring of 1993, when I prayed for that woman, laid hands on that woman that had that stroke, massive stroke. Her whole left side was paralyzed. The doctor said, we see up in your brain, there's marks, you know, there's markers that are left when something like that happens. And we see also that you've had a couple other incidents over, and it's in your medical file. We see the evidence of them. But that next morning, when I walked in there and she sat up, she wasn't paralyzed anymore. Had her makeup done, sitting there, and the doctor was saying, we don't know what's happened, but we think you had some type of psychological event, because now when we do this, here's the scans from yesterday, there's yesterday's event, here's the other events, but now there's no indication that you've ever had a stroke ever before. Hallelujah. God is the restorer of our health. I don't care what diagnosis you've been given. That doctor's not lying. They're just trying to tell you the facts as they see them. But I'm telling you, I don't care what the diagnosis is. Jesus is the restorer. God will restore your health to you. Not just heal you so you don't hurt anymore. I'm talking about restore you so there's not any evidence that you ever had it in the first place. Hallelujah. All things are possible. Glory to God. Faith for healing. And so we finished up last time with that. Tonight, I want to start with this one. God restores our broken fellowship with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I got to church tonight and realized I didn't have my normal preaching Bible in my note, I don't know, what do you call that thing? I guess it's not a briefcase, soft piece. It's a merce, a man purse. I don't know what it is. Well, I don't know what they call it, but I like it. Amen. So I'm using the electronic Bible tonight. Glory to God. You know, in verse 17, talks about being a new creature in Christ, but then it gets to verse 18, said all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Reconciled, that means He has restored us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:20 said He made peace through the blood of His cross. See, because of sin, we're separated from God. Man's original sin in the garden broke fellowship with God. But God sent His Son, to restore our fellowship. Now, we don't realize the importance of it, and I think we take for granted the fact that we are reconciled to God, that we have fellowship with God, and that we have a right, you have a right to spend time and talk to the Creator of all things, to Almighty God, and not as God, you know, G-A-W-D, but as Father of relationship. We have bold access to God's throne. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 with me. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Our fellowship has been restored with God. He's our Father. We're His children. And we have access to His throne, access to all that He has. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, that having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance, having our having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Jesus has restored us. It's by his blood that we have access to God. Hallelujah. And because of that, we can come boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly in faith to God. He has made a new and living way that we can come. Hallelujah. And we draw with a heart full of faith, fully assured. Because why? We don't have a sin consciousness anymore. God has restored fellowship with us. We're not sinners. We're saved by grace. Amen. Hallelujah. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And because of that, you have a right to stand before God as if sin had never existed in your life before, as if you'd never missed it. That's how God wants to treat you. That's how God has reconciled us to himself. That's how God has restored himself to us. And Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 5, I didn't read it, but in verse 18, he said, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our ministry now, is to tell people, be reconciled to God. Why? Because God was in Christ, not imputing your trespasses unto you. In other words, he's not counting anything you've ever done against you. Be reconciled to him. He put all of that on Jesus at the cross. And boy, we can have sweet fellowship with God. We can bring God everything, all of our needs. We can talk to him. He's the answer to everything. He's a father unto us. One of the great tragedies of society today is a lack of godly fathers in the family where they can give wisdom and give out understanding and teach their children knowledge. That's a great thing. But you don't live as an orphan in the family of God. You have a father. You have a father. Come to him, talk to him, spend time in fellowship with him through his word, fellowship with him through prayer. Talk to him and listen to what he has to say. How many of you know it's just not a conversation, it's just not all me talking? I had a minister tell me that one time about somebody. They said, when they're there, you do the listening, he does the talking. That means they talk all the time. Amen. Don't look at anybody right now. But let's spend time with God. When God restores, he just doesn't bring us back. He brings us back better than we ever were before. Glory to God. You know, standing in his presence as if you had never sinned. No evidence that you had ever sinned before. None. You are a total new creation. No accusation can be brought against you. Now the devil, you know the devil invented the DVR, right? Amen. He tries to bring things back. Well, remember when you said this? Remember when you did that? Remember, when you did all those things? You know, the Apostle Paul ministered in the reality of this. Now remember who he was before he got to Jesus. He was Saul of Tarsus, right? A Pharisee of the Pharisees. You know, he was strong. He had a zeal for God, zealous. He said, according to the law, he was righteous. In other words, he did everything in the law. He was doing to the best of his ability. He fulfilled it. If he couldn't do it, he brought the right sacrifice. He did all that stuff, you know. He said all those things. But we know this, when Christianity came along and Jesus came along, and after he'd risen, Paul was the chief persecutor of the church. He was throwing Christians in prison and even putting some to death. He stood there and held the coats of those professional stone throwers that they had all over Israel that stoned people if they didn't, if they strayed from what they thought religion really was and the worship of God was. They stoned Stephen. Paul standing there. But later on, he said, "Receive us. We have wronged no man." Now, wait a minute. How can you make a statement like that? We know you put the person who did all those things died on the road to Damascus, and he was raised a new man in Christ in full fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Job 42. So God restores fellowship. Point number 5 is God restores double. Double. Everybody say double. Double for your trouble. Hallelujah. Job 42, people talk about Job and say, well, I'm just suffering like Job. Well, you better get ready to shout if you're suffering like Job, because Job got it good at the end. I'm telling you. And you know, most Bible scholars will agree that this was less than a year's time that all these things took place. Now, I realize, you know, there was some horrible things that happened. But you know, there's no one immune to life. Life happens to everybody. The storms of life come against everybody. But are you going to build your house on the rock of God's word and trusting God? Or are you going to build your house on the sand of doing it your own way? Because the storm's coming. I'm not prophesying. I'm just telling you. Storms are coming. Life's going to happen. The devil hates you, and he's going to try to take you out. Jesus told us, he does what? Steals, kills, and destroys. But don't ever leave the but out of that. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God restores double. Here in Job 42, verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave twice as much as he had before. Gave Job twice as much as he had before. Well, that'd be great just if he just said that one time in the Bible. Look at Zechariah chapter number 9. That's the next to last book in the Old Testament. Just thought I'd help you out there. I know y'all knew that. Zechariah chapter 9. Verse number 12. Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare, I will render double unto thee. Return to God. I heard this years ago, and I've tried to make a practice out of it. Don't ever run from God, run to him. I don't care what happens, run to God. I don't care how bad you mess up, run to God. He's the answer. He's the answer. Run to God. Now notice, with Job and what he's saying here, God's restoration exceeds the original state we were in. God restores with increase. God is the God of increase. We should be expecting and believing not just to recover, but to overflow. And boy, get Pastor Craig's last two Wednesday night sermons on overflow. He's the God of the overflow. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, there were some things he said I'm going to add to this sermon after a while, you know, and I'll quote him for a little bit, then after a while it's just mine. Don't look at me like that. You know how that works. Glory to God. But notice, Job's latter end, we go back, we don't have time to go back there, but Job had greater blessing. He had double. He had more children. He had a long life after what he went through. We should be expecting and speaking in faith, expecting double back from what the devil has done, what life has tried to do to us. Let me give you five practical steps for receiving restoration. Number one, believe his word. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Like we've been taught around here over the years, faith begins where the will of God is known. I can't believe beyond my without a manifestation of the operation of faith. I can't believe beyond my actual knowledge of God's word. But in order for restoration to take place, I've got to believe his word. Number two, repent where you need to. Repent where you need to. Acts chapter 3, I want us to read that verse. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. If I didn't give it to you guys, I'm sorry. Acts 3, 19. Well, not 19:19. Acts 3:19. There we go. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing, restoration, reconciliation, they all mean along the same lines. If you need to, repent. You know, sometimes our problems are things we caused. Hey, man, we don't have time for testimony, but boy, we could. You know, there's just sometimes I just go, dummy, why you dummy? But thank God you don't stay there. I've never solved anything by doing that. I've done it, but I've never solved anything that way. But boy, repenting. Repenting doesn't mean you get saved again. It just means you say, God, I missed it. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me from the unrighteousness. Number one, believe his word. Number two, repent where needed. Number three, speak the restoration that you need. Mark 11, 23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Speak the restoration. Quit talking the problem. Quit talking what the loss that you've had, and start talking the restoration that you're believing God for. Amen. We spend way too much time giving voice and giving thought to what we lost when we should be hunting what we're going to be restored to. Speak to that mountain. Speak your restoration. How many of you know we're supposed to call things and be not as though they were? Hallelujah. Believe his word. Repent where needed. Speak restoration. Number four, stay in fellowship. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10 with me. I don't know why, but it seems like when people sometimes are going through loss, they miss this aspect. They quit coming to church. They quit fellowshipping with other believers. And I'm just going to tell you, you're weaker by yourself. You know, in the time that the Bible was written, the New Testament, you know, Paul talked about that Roman army. He talked about the armor of God, and it was like a lot like the Roman army there. But you know, they were known that if someone was injured, they'd pull them inside and put them in the middle, and they'd surround them so that they could be tended to. But you know, if they were just left out there by themselves, they're vulnerable. No, we've got to get inside the fellowship of the family of God. Hebrews 10:25 said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as much the more as you see the day approaching. And I'm telling you, that day, if it was approaching then, it's approaching now. I mean, it might have been crawling back then, but it's running full speed right now. That day is approaching. That doesn't mean we come to church less. Amen. I realize I don't get under condemnation. You know, if you got to work, you got to do different things. I understand that. But when it's available to you, you ought to be in fellowship with the family of God. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Some people don't even realize that's been their problem. It's amazing. I know we have, I mean, I know, especially in that, the pastor that I worked for in the second church, I was there in Kentucky. And when Johnny was just a little fella, we knew him from way back there, okay? Angela's husband. And pastor and I talked about a couple, you know, it was interesting. People come, you know, they want to talk to you. And it was amazing. You didn't know necessarily what you want to talk to. But if they had been to church during the last month, everything they wanted to know had been preached on. Either on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, the answer had been preached on. It was there all along. But if you forsake the assembling of yourselves together and you isolate yourself, the devil's got you exactly where he wants you. You ever watch? I love to watch those predator shows, you know. And what does a predator do? Isolates a member of the herd. Why? So they can eat. And I'm going to tell you right now, the devil wants to consume you. Don't let yourself get isolated. Believe his word, repent where needed, speak restoration, stay in fellowship, and then finally, expect increase. Expect increase. God is a God of increase. Look over in Ephesians chapter 3 with me. Pastor Craig used this verse in his overflow messages, but it works in this one too. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able. Didn't we sing about that just a little bit ago? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think? What have you been asking? What have you been thinking? God is more. God can do more. He's able to do more. That's why I know this. God's not limited by my opinion about it. Now, it might limit it in my life, but that doesn't limit God. God's not limited by other people's opinion about you and about your situation. Amen? The restorer is still at work. Don't count yourself out. The restorer is still at work. He's not finished with you yet. The restorer is still at work. What's broken will live again. The restorer is still at work. He makes all things new. The restorer is still at work, healing, mending, reviving us. The restorer is still at work in my family, in our hearts, in this nation, and the nations of the world. The restorer is still at work. What the enemy tore down, God wants to build again, and he's going to build it bigger and better than it was. The restorer is still at work. Don't stop believing. God is still restoring. Hallelujah. God's nature is restorative. And not just to bring you back into a situation, but to bring you back to a better situation. Stronger than you've ever been. You know, there in Isaiah talked about the eagle. That eagle goes, the eagle just naturally, if you ever study about, they go to a place where they'll get alone at a certain time of life. They'll start plucking out all their feathers. They'll pluck their feathers out and they'll hide for a while. They're very vulnerable at that time. But once that eagle's feathers have grown back, they're stronger and they're meaner and they're a better hunter than they've ever been before. It's almost as if it's a brand new eagle. The Bible says that God will restore our strength like the eagles. You may feel like life plucked all of your tail feathers out. You may feel like life has been just chewing on you. I got good news for you tonight. God wants to restore your strength just like the eagle gets restored. And when you come out of this, whatever it is you're going through, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be strong. You're going to be strong. You're going to be strong. And the devil's going to quake every time you get up out of bed. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet with me. Say it with me. God is still working. The restorer is still at work. He's restoring my joy. He's restoring my peace. He's restoring my purpose. The restorer is still at work in me. What was lost is coming back. Stronger, better, blessed. The restorer is still at work. This is not the end. Hallelujah. It's not over. He's not done yet. He who began a good work in you will complete it. Will complete it. Will complete it. Hallelujah. He's not done. He's not done with you. The restorer is still at work. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for restoration. Restoration. Now, I know sometimes we lay hands on folks, but you're just right there right now. The power of God's in this place. Just lift up your hand. Whatever you need, just thank God for it. Just tell him, thank you, Father, for restoring my health. Thank you, Father, for restoring that relationship. Thank you, Father, for restoring the joy of my salvation. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And after you get done thanking the God for it, tell the devil where he needs to go. Tell him he's got to stop. Tell him he's done in Jesus' name. Satan, you're done in Jesus' name. We arrest you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. No. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's the restorer. He's the restorer. In every area of our life, spirit, soul, body, relationships, and resources. My God, my God, my God restores. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just thank you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, in just a moment, we're going to dismiss the service. If you need, for that, you just need to restore relationship with God and you want to do it publicly, or you need prayer for anything, come on down here, men to the men, ladies to the ladies. You won't leave here like you came tonight. Amen. Our first-time guests, our ushers have already given you that gift, I believe. We thank you for being here tonight. Come on back. You want to hear our pastors preach, Pastor Hagen and Miss Hagen and Pastor Craig, Pastor Denise, our co-pastors on Sunday mornings, and usually Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights when they're in town. Glory to God. Amen. We clear. Everything good. Don't forget. Pastor Bill, we're still in need of things for We Care, I imagine. Definitely. We care, not just the gifts for the Toys for Tots and the Marines, but let's remember, is there stuff in the bulletin specifically written out there? But hey, non-perishable items, new non-perishable items. Don't clear out don't bring any expired stuff in. Hallelujah. You eat that stuff and believe God. Let's bring the new stuff for the folks that need help. All right. Amen. God bless you tonight. Hallelujah. Have a restorative week in Jesus' name. Amen.